This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Okay, turn with me to John 19. Today I want to talk about the cross of Jesus instead of intimacy with God, because I think this is so important. And especially this morning, just walking to this house, and I prepare all I need to talk about tonight about the knowledge of God, but I just felt such a strong prompting of the Holy Spirit to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus, which is this Sunday. But I doubt I have time, because what I'm going to do tonight is just share a bit about what this cross is about, because we must and we can never get over the cross of Jesus, because without the cross of Jesus, we have nothing. No, we can't even talk about intimacy with God, because the veil is there, and we are guilty and so on. So I want to talk about this, because sometimes we get used to it, sometimes we get over it, and Good Friday is just another day, or sometimes we are thankful because it's a holiday. I think there's nothing wrong with that, but that we must always remember the significance of today. Even though it's 2,000 years ago, it seems like a distant event, it seems like a historical event, but it's so important, because without today, there will be nothing. Everything will be in vanity. So when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you begin to understand, without today, 2,000 years ago, if Jesus did not go to the cross, everything will be in vain. So we must never get over what Jesus did for us at the cross, and we must take much time to think, to ponder, to reflect. And it must be something real and personal to us. So I want to take a process so that this next 2-3 days, you know, today is Good Friday, tomorrow is, I don't know why it's tomorrow, Tombsday. You know, Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, where I think we should take time to think, to ponder, to reflect, to read through every scripture pertaining to the crucifixion of Jesus as well as the resurrection of Christ, because this is the foundational and the fundamental truth of Christianity. There will be no Christendom if Jesus did not go to the cross. There's no Christendom if Jesus did not arose on Sunday. Everything will be a fake. And it must grip our heart, because this truth is not just something that we know. You know, a lot of times we know, but it doesn't mean much to us anymore. It doesn't tug our heart. It doesn't grip our heart. It has to be a reality that touch us, so that therefore, if this truth really grip us, there will be 4 tests. You know, one is we will always be so gratitude. We will be so grateful. And we'd be so thankful. Because without the cross, there's only one destination. We will always be full of gratitude. We'll always be full of thankfulness. Because this is not just another day. You know, I was thinking a lot about it this week, you know. I'm thankful that Jesus on the cross declared, "It is finished. It is finished." If not, the decoration will change. I'll tell you what's the decoration if Jesus did not go to the cross. Okay. A true test of if we understand or we encounter this reality of Jesus go to the cross. No, this is not just some distance event. That's why we need to take time to talk to our children. I'm also doing this for our children, because they need to know this event that happened. It's a real event that has happened. All of our heart, and especially our children, we need to have the heart connect with this reality. And more than that, we need to understand the significance, so that we will always be so thankful. We are always so grateful to it. And it also gives rise to worship. Turn with me to Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. So that even for us as a house, we never get over, we never get used to it. It's not just another event, no. Especially if we grow up, I know I've been a Christian for 1986. Yeah, 30 years. Yeah, it's kind of like after a while, I get used to Good Friday. I get used to the cross. We can easily get used to some of this. We are actually more excited about any other thing than the cross, the birth of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, or the second coming of Jesus, because these are vital, epic event in Christendom. It has to be more. We have to be more excited about the birth of Jesus. We have to be more excited about crucifixion of Jesus. We have to be more excited about the resurrection of Jesus. We have to be more excited about the second coming of Jesus than revival, than prophecy, and so on. Because without all this event, there'll be no prophecy. Without all this event, there'll be no spiritual gift. Without all this event, there'll be no revival. Everything centered around this four. I mean, of course, there are more, but to me, these are four epic events that we have. The three has happened, one have not. Okay, so you have to produce that gratitude and thankfulness. We have to be thankful because of the cross. That's why I asked Sarah to lead us to a song at the end where we're going to partake the communion. I want to explain to you what communion is all about. Okay, communion is not just remembering Jesus, what he had done, and so on. Okay, tell me the Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. First one is gratitude and thankfulness. Second, now these are not things that you can produce. These are things that has to come up from you as you encounter me. These are all the mark of whether I understand or I do not. Okay, so tell me the Romans 12, verse 1. That says this: in view, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in view of God's mercy, that you present your body as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is an act of worship. It will produce worship. The third one is abandonment. Abandonment. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ Jesus, and I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Of course, the last one is love. It will produce love. How can we not love someone who gave himself for us? Romans 5 has the best description. Someone who died for us while we are yet sinners. For some good people, maybe someone would die, but Jesus died for the worst and the worst. He died for us. If we truly understand the work of cross and the crucifixion of cross of Jesus Christ, we will love him. Our response is, we will love him. Which happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, went to the cross. I always say there are three category of people that three reasons why he go to the cross. One is for mankind, entire human race. Two is for me. Three is for the sake of obedience. He did it for the Father. That's Philippians, you know. Even until point of death, unto the cross. Obedience. Tell me the Philippians 2. Philippians, I will have quitted. Either I tell you the Passion Week, because when we tackle this issue about the cross of Jesus Christ, we have to look from at least two angles. One, the big picture. Two, what did he endure? What did he endure? Because so that we will identify, we will appreciate exactly what he did. He endured much. He endured much. And there's 1 week of anguish, a sadness, full of emotion because of what he was going through. There are many things that have happened, but I will have quitted. I'll be so bitter and angry. I will tell the Father, I quit. Let him die. But he went all the way. And we have to understand that. Tell me the Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. So that, you know, this few days, we can talk about it as a house, as a community. We can talk to our children and so on. So that forever we remember. This is a Deuteronomy 6 principle. I'll share with you later. Okay, Philippians 2. Philippians 2. He went to the cross for mankind. But a lot of time we have to personalize this. He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for me. Even today, there's only one person because of the crucifixion of Jesus that will turn to Jesus. He will still have gone to the cross. Even for one sinner. So he went to the cross for mankind. He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for the sake of obedience. He's obeying the Father until the very end. No? Philippians 2, verse 5 said this. You know, this is what a powerful, you know, if you want to learn about humility, this Philippians 2 is about humility. Because Paul is telling us what humility means. See, be like Jesus. Have the same mindset as Him. This is humility. You know, you want to be humble? Be like Jesus. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It means have the same mindset as Jesus if you want to be humble. Has the same attitude as Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant. Means God not just became man, he was a servant. Jesus is forever a servant king. God did not just became a man, he became a servant. Wow. Huge. Huge. You must know how many rung, how many level he came down. For us, it's pretty low, no? But for him, how many level he came down. That is humility. But more than humility, he also expressed about his obedience, you know. Verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death. Not just to the point of death, the worst kind. Death on the cross. Death on the cross. You know, there are many historical events that impacted and changed world history. I believe there are four to me. Okay, four epic events that surpassed them all. That changed the course of history and mankind. Because without it, the world would have been on the lost cause. Doom. Like what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity is vanity. The world would have been on the lost cause. That's why it's so vital for us to take time to ponder, to think, to reflect, to meditate. This is not just another truth. This is a vital truth. I mean, I'm thinking about it over these last 30 years. If there's no cross of Jesus, I've been lost. Everything of my life will be in vain. And especially I'm 51, 50, coming to 52. I mean, at most, I have another 30 or 40 years of my life. I'm inching closer to the end. It's really the end. That's why I say on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. Without the cross, I'll be saying, I am finished. I'm doomed. No, it's true. We do not take much time to think about it because we tend to think that this event always have happened. We are assuming that it's always have happened. It will happen. But what if it did not happen? Everything is doom. Everything is in vanity. So that we will appreciate when we understand that. Because the world will be in the lost cause. Human race will have no hope. Evil, sin, and wickedness will triumph. You know, it's perversion. Doom, hopelessness, perversion. Four epic events. You know, with that, we must always remember. We must teach. We must not get used to it or get over it. We must teach our children. I call it the Deuteronomy 6 principle. I give you the four events. First, one is the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. You know, we call it Christmas. I'm not going to argue over about the term, but that this is huge. God became man. That's where we have the term Emmanuel. God became flesh. He came near. He dwelt in our midst. What a powerful demonstration of humility. And Paul said, and I think it's 2 Timothy 3, either 1 Timothy 3 or 2 Timothy 3, what a great mystery. God became flesh. Wow. I wrote I always love it. I wrote an article of the mystery of Christmas. You know, I never get over it because God became man. Sometimes we are so used to being a man. You know, yeah, of course, you know, we'll never be a toad or a dog or whatever. You know, we are so used to being a man. We are so used to being mortal. We never realize how low God has came down. For God to be a man, he has to grow. Uncreated God has to grow. He has to learn to walk. He has to. To me, it always blow my mind about this one. He has to learn to talk. Wow, the Word has to learn to talk. Wow,
we must never get over, because sometimes it's just another blink of event and so on in our life. We never it doesn't really register, our heart never really connect where God came, He became man. The first event is the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. Second, the crucifixion of Jesus, the Good Friday, okay? The correct term is Good Friday, not Easter, okay? Easter is a pagan name. Good Friday, the crucifixion of Jesus. You know, I can't remember who is the one who came out this statement. What a powerful statement. The innocent one became guilty so that the guilty one become innocent. What a great divine exchange. You know, without this event, if what happened 2,000 years ago did not happen, we can't even fast and pray for revival next week. Period. Full stop. That makes me so thankful I can fast next week. I can go near to God. Because without that event that happened about 2,000 years ago, no revival. Period. That's it. That's it. So it makes me feel with lots of thankfulness and emotions. So I'm thankful. I'm so amazed. Thank you, Jesus. We can't even pray. Everything stopped. That's it. It's hopeless. There's no future. Crucifixion. Third one. Third event, which is 2 days from now, the Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. But with that, we have victory. We have victory. You know, three events have happened, but we kind of get used to it. You know, sometimes we assume that, yeah, it's always there. What if all these three never happened? No, I'm not saying. It's always good to think about what if it did not happen, because sometimes we take it for granted because it's always been there. But the key thing is this. If it had never happened, will we live our life business as usual? If it never happened, I still live my life business as usual. Something is wrong. Something is really wrong. I have hope. I have joy. I have something to live for because of this three events. Of course, the last one. The last one is the return of Jesus. Return of Jesus, where there will be a fullness of restoration. The crescendo of salvation plan of God. Finally, all that God the Father has mandated for mankind in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 will come full cycle into restoration. Mankind and earth will one more time walk into the fullness of God's desire and plan forever. It will never stop again. But today I just want to primarily talk about the cross of Jesus. Because it's Christianity 101. It's true. But yet we can never get over. Because even the book of Song of Songs taught about it. We never get over the cross. Okay. We cannot. Even though it's 2,000 years ago, it's a historical event. But it must not be historical for us. It's a distance event. It cannot be distance for us. It has to be near. Our heart has to connect. It's not just a mere story. It's real. It has to be personal. It must move us deeply. It has to move us deeply. Someone died for us. Yes, someone died for us. Okay, so we have to ponder. That's why what I'm going to do is I'll give you a quite number of passages of scripture for you to think about it, for you to ponder, for you to reflect. More importantly, so that as a house, as a community, we will encounter the truth and the work of the cross. And we're going to ask the Lord to grant us grace so that we will encounter the power of resurrection. No, it's not just a theory. We pray Ephesians 1:17. If you read all the way to Ephesians 1:20, 21, 22, 23, it talks about the same power that God the Father has resurrected Jesus from the dead is within us right now. That's what Paul prayed about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. The power of resurrection is within us to experience. If it did not happen 2 days from now, 2,000 years ago, there will be no victory. Remember I say this on the cross? Jesus said, it is finished. You know, Resurrection Sunday, Jesus will say, you are finished, not to us. He is declaring to Satan and to death, it's finished. Because he has crushed death. He has crushed Satan. Victory is ours for us to appropriate. That's why it's so powerful. On the cross, he said, it is finished. Resurrection Sunday, I know, Joel asked me, is there that phrase in the Bible? No, I just come out, think of it, say it's true. But on the cross, he said it is finished. Resurrection Sunday, he's looking eyeball to death and to Satan, you are finished. It is done. He has won. The victory is his. Okay, turn me to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Okay. I'm going to give you some passages of scripture to read over these next few days. Yes, we are on this journey where we have a schedule about reading the Bible. Well, we can skip the schedule for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Read these few passages of scripture. So the next 2 days, we talk about it. We pray about it. We want to think and ponder and reflect. I want to go on this journey where Jesus went to the cross and so on. Because I want to encounter and revisit this truth about the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus so that I know and grasp the significance, more importantly, the reality that I will not get over it. I will be thankful, grateful. I will want to worship him. I want to love him. Okay, tell me the Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a very powerful principle. Primarily is how we should teach our children, but it applies to ourselves. Okay. The context is, of course, the first and the great commandment. But the principle can apply to different issues and topics pertaining to our faith. The key is make that to be the central of our heart. Teach it, buy it, write it. Don't really come out some tablets tomorrow and put it on the children's forehead or your own forehead, you know, the cross of Jesus, you know, resurrection, and people come having all those tablets hanging all over. No, I mean, these are principles and these are keys that the Lord specifically spoke to Moses through Moses, reminding us that these are principles of how we should disciple ourselves. Disciple our children using all those truths. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 9. So today I'm not going to in depth about what is the cross and so on, because you can find out the meaning easily. I'm going to give you a scripture. The key is for us to ponder, to meditate, to reflect, to talk among our community and our children, so that we will not take the cross of Jesus Christ for granted. It's not just another event, another blink in human history. It's epic events, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 6. Say this. And this word which I command you today shall be in your heart. That's the first one. Shall be in your heart. Second, verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by your way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Wow, man, that's very busy, man. You lie down, sit down, talk. Wow, I mean, but that emphasis, the importance, verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes, okay? Not nowhere else, between the eyes, okay? But this in principle, so don't do it, okay? Then tomorrow come back, Annabelle also have one. Isabel also have one, and Joel have two, you know, and so on. No, this in principle. Verse 9, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. Basically, four: heart, teach, bind, write. It's the principle of how we disciple one another as far as our children, specifically in the context of our children. Heart, you shall, means it has to be the center of our faith. We must never lose sight of it. We must never get over. That's why it shall be in your heart. It must not. We must not lose sight. We must not get over. Because, you know, unfortunately, even including myself, sometimes we get used to so-called, inverted comma, old truth. So we get into this, is there anything new? Primarily, there's nothing new. It's re-encounter, revisit, re-encounter, so that you go deeper and deeper and deeper. You know the heart of God deeper and deeper and deeper. Like I always say, how can we even get over John 3:16? God so loved the world. He did something. He did something. How can we even get over? So there's no new truth in the sense, but new truth in the greater depth of revelation that caused our heart to burn with greater intensity, with greater passion as we press in deeper. So the first one is heart. It has to be the center of our faith. Second, teach. Teach, center of our discipleship. We have to disciple our children, ourselves about the cross. We must not lose sight of it. Yes, it's not a topic that we constantly talk about, but it is a fundamental, foundational Christian doctrine. Christianity 101. Basic, foundational, fundamental. We can never get over it. No matter how mature you are, you never get over the cross. Paul said, I never get over the cross. I will not preach anything. I will not boast anything except the crucifixion of Jesus. Wow, Apostle Paul. So we must not get over it, okay? You may not be teaching it. You may not, so-called, inverted commas, specializes in it, but you should never get over it because without the cross, without crossing the cross, we can't even talk about anything. We can't pray for revival next week. Full stop. That's it. Third one, bind. Bind. Bind basically is about talking about we must keep reminding ourselves. Remembrance. That's why tonight we want to end by partaking the communion. I want to share a little bit about the meaning of communion. There are three reasons why the Lord wants us to do Holy Communion. Every time we do it, no, we are not just doing a ritual. If you are doing a ritual, it's meaningless. It's a response to a person so that we remember him. We remember what he desires. It's powerful. It's powerful. Okay. And I will talk about John 20, you know, about the tomb. And I realized Annabelle also posted. There's a very powerful, significant event at the tomb of Jesus where most of us don't really pick that up. He folded his handkerchief. It's a powerful decoration. I mean, because we are Gentiles, we don't understand Jewish culture. But when you understand Jewish culture, it's a powerful, Jesus is making a powerful statement. When Peter, John, I think Mary and Magdalene would have understood too. Okay, I hope. Okay, when they look at the handkerchief that is folded, they know what Jesus was trying to communicate to them. So that whenever they partake the Holy Communion, they remember. They remember. That's why Jesus said, do this as frequent as you can. Do this in remembrance of me. It's vital. So that when we do Holy Communion, this is not just another ritual, no? You know, sometimes we can, you know. Yeah, last 10 minutes, let's do Holy Communion. Just eat the bread, eat the cup. And sometimes the bread is too small, then we argue, and no, we don't do that. That happened in Corinthian church. Or Ribena is not so sweet, and so on, and no. So that we don't get into some of this thing. Okay, never mind, let's come back. So the third one is bind. The last one is right. That means make it the center of our focus. Center of our focus. Okay. Okay, I'm going to give you some vital passages that for you to read concerning the cross. Vital passages to read concerning the cross. I'm going to just run through briefly what Jesus did for us on the cross. Okay, first one is Matthew chapter 26, 27, 28. Matthew chapter 26, 27, 28. Actually, it's all four gospel. Okay, the last part. Matthew 26 to 28. Mark 14 to 16. So today I kind of like put a handbrake on my reading schedule. You know, say slow down to a halt, Kei Chong. You read about the whole journey of Passion Week until the resurrection of Jesus. Because I want to revisit and re-encounter this reality. I want my heart to move. I want to be so thankful of what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago when he said it is finished. Wow, three words, but huge significance. Huge significance. Okay, Matthew 26 to 28, Mark 14 to 16, Mark 14 to 16, Luke 22, 23, 24, Luke 22, 23, 24. Yeah. John 18, 19, 20. John 18, 19, 20. I'll run through John 19 and 20 briefly, especially about the folded handkerchief. It's huge. Okay. Okay, got it? Then a few more passages. 1 Corinthians. Okay, read Romans chapter 1 to 8. You must read Romans chapter 1 to 8. Anyway, we just taught through. It's easy. Just read through Romans 1 to 8. Okay. Yeah. You can do it. You know, I was joking with the youth, young adult yesterday. You know, they were fasting. You know, session finished 10 o'clock. So they are deciding whether to break fast or go and eat. So I was joking. Then, you can endure for 2 hours. Jesus died for you on the cross. You can endure for another 2 hours not eating. So do you all endure? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, you all did. Great. I'm proud of you. No, I'm just kidding. So, wow, it's a lot, but of all that Jesus did for us on the cross, we can endure the few passages of Scripture. Because Hebrews 2 says, He endured the shame for us. So we can, okay? Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. If you are not, Jesus still loves you, okay? Okay, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17 to 2, chapter 2, verse 5. No, my whole heart purpose is so that we cause our heart to burn again pertaining to this doctrine of the cross. We don't get used to it. It's a past event, but we are every day appropriating what Jesus did for us on the cross. We have to learn every day to be thankful and appropriating the work of the cross and appropriating the power of resurrection. It's constant, even though it's a so-called historical event, but every day we are tapping on what He did for us. And we are thankful for it, okay? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17 to chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 1:17 to chapter 2, verse 5. Romans 1 to 8, okay? Not verse 1 to 8, Romans chapter 1 to chapter 8, okay? Galatians 6. That's why Good Friday is a holiday, so that we can read all these passages of Scripture. Don't go for holiday. This is more exciting. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, read until your heart cry. Oh, that'll be exciting. Oh, Jesus. No, I'm serious. I was reading, my heart move. I said, oh, man. You know, Galatians 6, verse 11 to 15. Galatians 6, verse 11 to 15. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 19. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 19. Philippians 2. Verse 5 to 11, which I read through briefly just now. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11. Colossians 1, verse, read the entire chapter 1. Okay. Anyway, it's only less than 30 verses. Colossians chapter 1. Last one, Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. I tell you, Colossians is huge. Colossians is primarily about preeminence of Christ. Ephesians is about we in Christ. Colossians is about Christ in us. It's just the opposite, but it's huge, okay? Huge. Okay, turn to me to John 19. John 19. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to run through briefly the cross of Jesus. I definitely have no time to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Go to our website to read an article about the resurrection of Jesus, okay? Then the last half an hour, we want to partake the Holy Communion together as a house. I'm going to lead you step by step and explain so that we do it meaningfully. I'm not saying the last few times we never do it meaningfully, but we want to do it meaningfully so that we can encounter the very heart of God. Okay, take me to John 19. John 19. John 19. We can there are many ways, but we can primarily approach the cross of Jesus or the truth about the cross in two angles. I mean, there are many, but I always approach it in two angles. In fact, just throw you another thought. You know, the Gospel of John is a very powerful gospel. It's written in the the context or rather the presentation of the tabernacle of Moses. If you understand the tabernacle of Moses, that's the way that the Gospel of John is being presented. Of course, there are seven testimony of Jesus through his signs and wonders, and there are seven testament of Jesus where Jesus declare who he is, like, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life, I'm the bread, I'm the living water, so on and so on. Okay, but primarily is present in the way of the whole structure of the tabernacle of Moses. It's a very powerful presentation. Basically, the whole Gospel of John, Jesus is saying that I'm the better tabernacle. If you read it together, the book of Hebrews, you will understand perfect. It ends with Mary or Magdalene go into the tomb and saw Jesus. No, she was the first one who went into the tomb. Okay. If you understand Tabernacle of Moses, every year there's only one person can go in every year, high priest.